Hello, and welcome to Lighthouse Podcast. I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn. I'm blessed to be a pastor here at Lighthouse and really blessed to be able to share with you today from God's Word some encouragement. We've started chapter one here of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And so last week we saw that Paul, as he's writing here to these believers who are mostly Gentiles at Philippi, you know, he doesn't set himself up as someone, you know, to be exalted or served or looked up to. In fact, he calls himself and Timothy here in the very beginning bondservants of Jesus Christ. And so he sees himself in the ministry with Timothy as a servant. And his service was to spread the gospel. He's currently writing to this church from prison. And so one of his prison letters here. And you know, he's serving the body of Christ with everything that he has. He's already lost his reputation in the Jewish community as someone who studied the Jewish law and became a Pharisee and was from the line of Benjamin. So he had all the reputation in the world, and he gave that up for the gospel. And now he's giving up his literal freedom to preach the gospel as he's been in jail and will eventually die in jail. So he continues in verses 3 through 6, and we'll read that real quick. And it says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, as always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." So Paul, you know, sitting here, is thankful and joyful for this church at Philippi to be partnered with him in the gospel. And so no doubt, not only supporting his efforts to spread the gospel, but potentially financially and for sure encouraging as he's doing his missionary work and helping him spread the gospel. Another observation that we can make from these passages is in verse 6, and it poses a big question. Paul writes, "He who began a good work in you." And so the first of a couple questions is who is he? And then what is this good work? And so clearly Paul's referring to God as the he, and he's offering encouragement that it's God who began this work, and that it's God who will complete it. And so that is his first encouragement for us, which we'll get into later. And then what is this good work? And so Paul goes on in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, and he kind of amplifies the idea of what he's talking about here. And he says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, that only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So the good work we see here is our salvation. It's not only the moment of our salvation, but the outworking of our salvation until we see Jesus face to face, which is when it is fully and ultimately complete. And so to put it simply, we're talking about God's faithfulness is the overarching theme of these couple of ideas as Paul opens his letter here is our salvation is not based on our work. It's based on God's work and his faithfulness, especially his faithfulness to complete what he has started. And when we finally see that, that will be the full realization of who we are in Christ, a saved person through our faith in Jesus. And so we know that from Scripture that it's God alone who is faithful. You know, we're prone to wandering, as the song proclaims, and, you know, we're weak and we're given to change. You know, we want to see the next new thing, the next kind of novel thing that's coming out, and we can easily be led astray, especially if we allow the world to lead us. You know, it's kind of the blind leading the blind. And, you know, for me, I've got a house full and a garage full on top of that of projects that I've been distracted from and are still sitting unfinished. You know, I tell my wife that I've promised to complete them, so she doesn't need to remind me every 6 months. And so, jokes aside, right? I've started and planned to start some of these projects with all the conviction and zeal that, you know, convinces me that this is going to be a worthy project, worthy of my time, and effort and money. And then a setback comes, right? You know, after the fifth trip to the hardware store, you know, the day is shot and my motivation is gone and I'm frustrated. And so I set that project aside until I have more time to complete it, only to move on to the next project and kind of cover over that one with a new one that doesn't have that bitter taste of frustration. And so I think, man, that the next project will surely go smoother, and then the cycle repeats, right? And so will we ever get that new fireplace mantle? One day, perhaps, but will it be as grand and rustic as I first envisioned it when I saw that plank sitting there at the lakeside? Not likely, right? So, but for sure, you know, we are works in progress. But God won't set us aside, right? He's not going to relegate us to that dusty workbench that's covered over by the next project that's sure to be better than the last, right? So quite the opposite. God actually uses those setbacks in our lives to work us to that perfection, right? So those frustrations or those dry moments, even the painful situations and, you know, all of that, that's part of the process that God uses to bring us home, really, and to bring us to that place where we become more like his son. And so, you know, it's in that day when we see Jesus face to face that we will be perfected or be completed in this process. And so it's either when we see him face to face or when he returns for us. But until then, be encouraged, right, that God doesn't start something that he's unable to complete or that he's unwilling to complete. He isn't surprised or caught off guard, you know, by the setbacks or the frustrations or disappointments. In fact, he doesn't throw up his hands and storm off because he was somehow unprepared. And now he has to come up with plan B, right? Nope, quite the contrary. God only has plan A. And it's perfectly thought out. It's perfectly planned, prepared, and executed for us. And so there's a little internal kind of bookends that kind of encapsulates this idea here in the opening of the book of Philippians. And so Paul opens his letter to the saints, right? And so that's those who confess Jesus as Lord. It's those who receive the free gift of his salvation, receive him as Savior. And then at the end of these verses, he says that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so these verses, this idea is kind of wrapped up in Jesus. And so we, too, are completely wrapped up in Jesus. And so he's the initiator of our salvation. He's the maintainer of our salvation. And he's working in us for the completion of our salvation. And so listen, don't get frustrated that you have setbacks or that you somehow feel unprepared or unplanned and that you're somehow struggling with temptation or that you're not as good as the other Christians you see on Sunday morning. But allow God to work in your life and yield to his direction and his calling on your life, because here's the thing. God is at work, and so hang in there. And so be blessed. And if you like this, go ahead and like it and share it to bless somebody else, and have a great rest of your day.